The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Good friend of the program, Riaz Patel, is with us. Riaz is a guy who shouldn't agree with anything that we say. On paper, we should not be friends. But
agreed.
We are friends because we're both human beings. And we also can see what's happening to our country. And so while we don't agree on some things, many of those things are not so important, especially right now. Riaz was one of the guys that I sent this audio to, and I want you to hear the audio from WMAL yesterday.
Alan in Southern Maryland, you're on WMAL. Go, Alan.
I'm sick of the Donald Trump stuff, all the Trump stuff. I consider myself one of the forgotten men and women. I'm worried about job creation. I'm worried about tax cuts. I need more money. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. They just cut off my cable bill. I'm rubbing two nickels together. My girl can't find a job to help me. We're out here struggling. And these people don't get it. I mean, they really don't get it. I don't have money. I mean, I'm cutting back on my medicine, my groceries. She can't find a job.
Do you feel like the president, Alan, do you feel like the president is keeping his head down and doing what he promised to do to try to help you and other Americans like you? Do you think he's...
If they let him do it and give him a chance,
yeah.
They're fighting him every step of the way. We need help out here. We've been struggling for years under Obama, and he had the right message. We murdered him in because of that. And we need tax cuts. I need a couple extra dollars on my paycheck every week. We need jobs.
Thanks, Alan.
We need Trump. And these liberal, the press and all this, they need to get off of that and think about us that's out here putting our boots on every day, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, going to work, and trying to provide for our families, and it's hard.
I just need a couple of extra bucks in my paycheck every month. This is somebody who, my guess is, if he ever listened to me, he's been mad at me for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to jump on that so fast, Riaz.
Yes.
I'd like to find him and talk to him. You live in that area.
I now do, and yeah. I would like to find him, yes.
Yeah, so let's see if we can find him, and yeah. Maybe you go talk to him and then yeah. And then bring him on the air, and because I think he reflects a lot of people. So what he's saying here is so fascinating on several levels. I'd like to hear your analysis of him, Riaz.
It feels like, I mean, the level of pain is just palpable. I mean, it's palpable in the voice. And to me, this man is calling into a calling show because there's no one else. I mean, he literally feels like, someone please hear me.
Right.
And what I fail to grasp is why it is so hard to disagree with people ideologically, but to say, I hear you, I see you, and what you feel matters to me. That is all you have to do. We don't have to agree on tax policy. We can disagree. But I see you, I hear you, and what you are experiencing matters to me. And no one, because they're too entrenched.
And here's what's happening. When you look at what the GOP is proposing, mm-hmm. they're not proposing anything that is going to help him. He's obviously not on Obamacare. He mm-hmm. is on... private insurance. He's now not able to pay for his prescription. Most likely, if he's like the average American, his premium has gone up 140%.
Yeah.
We're not talking real job creation unless we're talking about tax cuts to help him have more of his money, tax cuts to be able to create jobs. That's not what the GOP, and in many cases, what Donald Trump is doing with his actions. It's
yeah.
what he said, but it's not doing what he with his actions. He's just at a point to where he needs someone to do something.
And it's been, I mean, he says, I voted for Obama. So that's now 8 years, 9 years. It's almost a decade that this man has tried with his power of vote to say, please notice me. Please help me. You campaign on promises. And then obviously 8 years went by and here we are again. To me, the machine of politics is now wagging the dog. that all we're talking about, and not necessarily here, is the politics, the fighting, the analysis of every analysis. And it's becoming this wormhole of you have people talking and then analyzing the talking and they analyze the analysts. And meanwhile, nothing is changing for the experience of the everyday person.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's really kind of what I've grasped here this week. We talked about when the news first broke about Donald Trump and Russia. We talked on Monday about that. And I think we talked some on Tuesday about that. But on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we really tried to focus on the people because there's nothing new here. It's just arguing to argue. It's what we did with Bill Clinton. He didn't have sex. Yes, he did. He did. He didn't. He did. He didn't. Oh, he did. Well, it doesn't matter. Yes, it does. No, it doesn't.
And
yes,
none
it does.
Of that connects to a person Nothing. And their experience and their family and
Correct.
Their pain and their life. None of that.
Right.
None of this does.
Right.
And to me, my whole thing is, how do I take my own power back emotionally? How do I not hope that the GOP or the Democrats or the president or the Congress will fulfill my needs? I mean, this is not just someone who's looking at fiscal needs. This is an emotionally bankrupt person now. Where are the neighbors? Where are the friends? Where is the sense of community to say, look, how can I help you? Everyone is entrenched in a battle defending one person, themselves. And no one is marching together. And so the person wearing the hijab feels the same. The person in Mexican feels the same. The man here feels the same. No one is saying this is a great, wonderful, fun time to be an American. So who is benefiting from this? Who's continuing the engine to move?
The media is benefiting from this and the politicians on
both
sides.
It's a frenemies relationship.
Yes.
If Donald Trump really wanted to remove himself from the media, he would stop responding.
Yes.
It's personal responsibility.
Correct.
I cannot point at anyone. At a certain point for me, as you know, I had a son. My father got sick. He passed away. I took 30 days off from the world. By the way, nothing changed. Nothing changed in 30 days. But
that's an eye-opening discovery for
but
people
I
who
found
are
my compass.
Yeah.
And my compass didn't come from listening to talking heads, and my compass didn't come from watching the news. My compass came from here I am caring for my father, my son, my home. What is it that I believe? Only could I do that by taking a complete fast from media for a period of time. And I work in media, so it's like I'm telling people not to watch my own work.
So, Riaz, I asked you, or yeah, actually you asked me, you were listening, you said, what are the books that you're having everybody in your company read?
Mm.
And which ones did you read?
All four.
Okay.
I mean, come on, you're asking. I'm in type A. I wasn't hugged enough as a child. Of course I read all four. I have notes on all four. I read the sub notes and then I read those sources. No, I read all four.
So tell me what you know what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
We're trying to find a way to break down the barriers and talk to people and be able to move forward, even in a way where we disagree, but we're going to be able to solve problems because we're not just calling each other names. What was your takeaway from them?
I mean, my whole takeaway is the way you help the divide is honestly by listening empathically. I've done it in Alaska. I've done it in Saudi Arabia. I've done it with people who have nothing in common with me. I've just sat down and said, I've done it with you guys. I sat down and I came in thinking, I'm going to walk into the lion's den. But when I walked in, I just sat down and listened. And all of the preconceptions that I brought to the table did not exist, which is why I keep showing up.
And it's why we did it with you as well.
Yeah.
We had every reason to suspect you, and we just listened and watched you.
Yeah.
And we realized you're not who society wants to say you are.
It's not so hard. Yeah. It's not so hard to go to this man and say, literally, what about your life do I not know? When do you think the last time someone actually asked him that and listened, didn't wait to speak, to say, okay, that's great, now let me tell, listened. I tell you, the one thing is there are two kinds of people who listen and people who wait to speak. There are a huge number of the second category going on right now.
And almost all of them are on television.
Yeah.
You've done it too. Mm-hmm. I've done interviews. The secret of Oprah Winfrey, she actually listens.
Genuinely interested.
Yes.
You have to be genuinely interested
yes.
in people.
Yes.
And I am. I'm genuinely interested in people because I can't imagine that guy is having a very different time than I am raising my children. That different. I cannot imagine that his needs are that different than my needs. So I can relate to that.
Yeah, that's one thing we were talking about earlier this week in our office. I think we met on Tuesday or Monday when all this broke. And we talked about, you know, where does your loyalty reside? Does it reside in your principles? Does it reside in the party? Does it reside in the president? Does it reside with the press? Reside with being right? Where's your loyalty reside? And we all said almost at the same time, our children, our children, what's best for our children? Because we'll take the lumps now and do the hard thing, but I'll bet you that he has a hard time seeing that his children are going to be better off than he is.
Are they? Are they in this day and age? Are today's millennials better off than their parents?
No.
And that's the reality that people are walking into. How do they walk into it with some amount of hope without all this despair constantly seeping into every pore?
So does it amaze you that we're not listening to people like that who are so at the end of their rope? And yet the media, do you have the stuff from Occupy Wall Street? Listen to this interview from, I think this is overseas, of Occupy Wall Street. And we heard in different ways this argument.
My sign, it just says, throw me a bone, pay my tuition.
Why?
Why? Because I think these billionaires are getting a lot of money just out of greed. You know, they're exploiting people, the underclass, like lower class people, middle class people.
How do they do that?
How do they do that? Just through, well, I guess it has to do with the government as well. For example, we get taxed more than they do.
That's not true.
That's not true.
Do you know the country with the highest corporate tax rate in the world?
Okay, but that doesn't mean...
It's the United States, 35%.
That's in comparison to other countries, but I'm talking specifically...
But just 35%, that's pretty high. I mean. And also, 1% of the population pays 40% of all the taxes.
Well, just reading like statistics from what I've seen, like for every dollar that we're taxed, corporations are taxed like 25 cents. And that just doesn't seem fair to me.
Where did you read that?
Online.
Okay. Let's just suppose that there was lots of money.
So he's going back and forth, and they're arguing, and they have the luxury of arguing back and forth because this college student said he was, I think he was a Columbia student, and said, you know, I have these bills that are mounting up, and I think the rich should pay for my college. And so we need to tax the rich. This was an Occupy Wall Street thing. And the media listened to the people, and many of those were not struggling. They were not this guy, or they would have had more impact. They were wealthy people who were coming from a, and not all of them, obviously, but they were coming from a privileged class, going to a privileged school and saying, I can't afford my college education, which I understand because college is out of control. The average person is freaking out. How do I pay for college? But we listened to this talk about somebody has got to pay for my college education when nobody promised you a college education. But this guy who's saying, I quote, I just need, and I think he means it literally, I just need a couple of extra bucks a month to be able to buy my medicine and put food on the table.
I mean, I'm going to go a slightly different direction, which is I feel like sometimes there's an instinct to invalidate some people's pain because we think that the parameters of their life are comfortable enough that they shouldn't complain, that someone who is wealthy or privileged, that he couldn't possibly have as much pain as someone who doesn't. And I would say, I think the problem is that we're having now is we approach each situation looking at someone with the labels. Okay, you're poor, black, urban, immigrant, whatever it is, and therefore your pain has this much validity or not. Therefore your complaints are this valid or not. And I think, depending on the news organization, that compass will shift. To me, the real work here is, I don't know who you are. You're Glenn Beck. You have money. Are you happy on a daily basis? You have your own struggles. You have your own demons. I think to me, everyone is angry right now and no one is listening. So whether he's wealthy and is worried about it, by the way, I also went to an Ivy League school, which is incredibly expensive because my path in life was this is how you become a professional. This is how you succeed. This is how an immigrant's family works. So it was hugely important to me to get into that Ivy League school, to work hard every day. I mean, people were out having fun at 19. I wasn't. I was at the library. So whatever his pain comes from, I think what is wrong is someone else needs to fix it. And that is the problem is everyone, someone else needs to fix it. And I'm saying, I don't know who's going to step in right now. I don't know who is going to step into this man who's crying into a radio station. He's going to have to find it from his friends, his neighbors, his church, his community, his mosque. That is what I'm trying to get people to do, is to say, listen to the pain. For me, what I heard is he said, that's not fair. What I heard from the first guy is, I'm putting on my boots every day. He's talking like a soldier going to war. They're telling you what they feel in their speech. I am a victim. I don't know how to get out of this. Whatever their parameters are, they can't get out. How do you get out? Listen, what is it you need? What do you think this job needs? Finish the question. Why do you think you need that career path? Why do you think no one's connecting the dots? It's a soundbite world. He's in, he's out. We got it. To me, they're saying on the emotional level, on the human level, they're saying very similar things. I'm unhappy, I'm lost, and it's not fair.
Okay.
It's not fair. And I think everyone just wants a fair shake.
So what we need to do, and this is one of the things, I want to send you out and start finding the ways and finding people, you know, all the way down to, I haven't spoken to my mom and dad.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because they voted a different way, one way or another, to communities that want to heal, and find a way to knit our community. That first safety net has been destroyed. And so the government, instead of last resort, is first resort.
You won't feel as alone and isolated in need of help if your neighbor is someone that you can rely on.
Yeah.
There's a power in that. And yep. Even if it's just an emotional power. If someone cannot give you money, it's a real emotional power.
Riaz, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
We're looking to talk to you again.
Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.